How many have an issue where you cannot fix it in the natural? It will require supernatural abilities for something to change. How many have a situation like that? Well, I want to tell you today that you can walk in that supernatural. That, listen to me, that not only can you walk in the supernatural, but God has placed you on this earth to make a difference on this earth. Guys in the back, Psalm, the 115th Psalm, 115th Psalm, and the 16th verse, Psalm 115, and then verse 16. Look what it says. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has been given to the children of men. That's a phenomenal passage, is it not? And what God is saying to you, because many of us think, yes, I need this to change. And God is speaking to you today and saying, okay, then change it. You say, but God, I can't, it's supernatural. Well, I'm going to show you how God has called you to walk in the supernatural. And so instead of looking at situations in your life and saying, there's no way, I can't do that, it's impossible, that'll never, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. So you've got to understand what God says, because many times what we do is we think that, well, you know what, if God wants it changed, he'll change it. Well, what do you think you're doing here? I said, what do you think you're doing here? Because your role is to change situations on this earth. See, the earth has been given to the children of men. Are you a children of men? Y'all had a daddy? How many had a daddy? Raise your hand. Let me try that again, because some of you didn't raise your hand. How many had a daddy? Okay, so you know what? That, so the earth has been given to us. We are the ones who've been told to dominate the earth, to take dominion on the earth. This is our responsibility. And God, listen, and God hasn't left us like orphans. Is that not right? See, we don't have the, we haven't been given the spirit of fear, but a love, a power, a love, and a sound mind. Everybody say a power. So we started looking last week. We looked at Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's go ahead and turn to that passage. Mark chapter 11. And let's go up to the 20th verse. Let's start with verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And just to remind you of the story, Jesus sees this fig tree. It's far away. He's hungry. He goes up to the fig tree. And when he goes up to the fig tree has no figs. You ever been really hungry? And you're like, you know what? You're in your pajamas, and you're just going to go through the drive-through. And you know what? And you kind of know it's closed, but your hunger says it's not closed. And you go through the drive-through, and you're like, hello? Hello? And you know they're not even open. You know what I mean? Or even worse, you go to the door, and right when you're at the door, they lock it. And what do they say? Sorry, we're closed. And you know they're not really sorry. You know they're happy. Okay, But you're like, man, well, that's kind of what Jesus did. Jesus saw this fig tree from far off. He goes up to this fig tree, and by the time he gets up there, he notices there's no figs on it, and he curses the fig tree, and he says, nobody's ever going to eat of you again. Now, before you think Jesus was just kind of freaking out, Jesus got mad, you know what? No, Jesus didn't get mad. He's teaching us something. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that fig tree, it tells us that it wasn't even the season of figs. Do you remember reading that there? Well, if it wasn't even the season of figs, then why is he getting upset? Because he's trying to teach you something. How many know God knew that was going to be written down? The Bible says that we are to be ready in season and what? And out of season. Is that not what it says? I believe that's exactly what God is trying to show us. Hey, when people come to your door, they ought to come, and you're always ready to give them something to eat. Amen. Always have a good word for them. Always have something, you know what, some blessing to give them. But Jesus comes up, and boom, nothing going on. Curses the fig tree. And then, verse 20, in the morning, as they pass by, they see the fig tree dried up from the root. Next verse. And Peter, remembering, said, what did he remember? He remembered Jesus cursed this fig tree. This wasn't just a tree that had you ever have a plant or something gets a disease? You know what I mean? No, this wasn't just a diseased tree. This was the fig tree that was completely... in health the day before, and now that fig tree is dead. And Peter recognizes it, and he says, whoa, trip out. Look at this. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And then we talked about this a lot last week. I like this verse. This is awesome. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. God is saying, look, I said it. Just whatever I say, know it's going to happen. Whatever I say, know it's going to happen. Stop doubting. Have faith that what I say is going to happen. And he says, have faith in God. But then he says something that is just absolutely incredible. Look what he says next. He says, for assuredly I say to you. Now, all eyes up here. Look at the difference. Now he's speaking. Peter's talking to him. Now he's having this conversation with Peter. He's letting Peter know, Peter, I'm telling you this. What you just experienced, what you just saw me do, you can do it also. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and then he opens it up and says, wait a minute, I'm not only talking to you, Peter, I'm not talking to anyone who will apply this. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about two things, and then we're going to talk about three things, and then we're going to be done. Everybody say two things. And then three things, and then we're going to be done. Okay. He says, I'm talking to you, Peter, and I'm telling you, anyone who wants to do this can do this. Now, let me talk about the first two things you need to understand. Number one, everybody say number one. Okay. We all have been given the measure of faith. Say, I have faith. How do I know you have faith? Here's why. Because the Bible tells us that we have faith. Look at Romans 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. Let's say that together. To everyone who is among you. Let's say that again. Right. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Like what my dad used to tell me all the time, don't get too big for your britches. But here's what I want you to notice. Then Jesus says, watch this, but think soberly. What does that mean? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but have an accurate perception of who you really are. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't think less of yourself than you ought to think either. That's what be soberly. you know what it means. He means be accurate to who you really are. And then he says this. Watch this. But think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What does that mean? Here's what it means. That you have faith. How do I know you have faith? Because God has dealt you a measure of faith. Or a better way to say it is like this, more accurate to the passage is this, that God has given to each the measure of faith. Every say the measure of faith. What does that mean? In other words, you know what it is? It's God's faith. He's the one who dealt it. It's his faith, and he gave it to you. So what do you have? You have the God kind of faith. Each one. Everybody say each one. See, so many times we're not looking to do anything supernatural, and we're not looking to do anything supernatural because we just think we can't do it. And I'm here to tell you that you've been given the measure of faith. You have God's kind of faith. Now, number one, you have God's kind of faith. Number two, watch this, you don't need more faith. No, Pastor, I need more faith. No, you don't need more faith. You need to exercise the faith that you have. You need to exercise the faith that you've been given. We'll talk about how to exercise your faith in a minute, but let's just talk about that first thing. We don't need more faith. Now, many times we think we need more faith, but we don't need more faith. Somebody says, well, I just need more muscle. No, you don't need more muscle. You need to exercise the muscles you have. Is that not right? See, strong guys don't have more muscles than other guys. They just have developed the muscles that they have. Does that make sense? Watch, here, I'll prove it to you. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, look at verse 5 and verse 6. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because the apostles think sometimes like we think, or we think like the apostles think, and they, well, we need more faith. Now notice Jesus' response to the apostles. Look what he says. So the Lord said, what's he saying? He's responding to them saying, we need more faith. Look what he says. If you had faith of a mustard seed. Now, let me tell you what he's doing. If I had a mustard seed in my hand, and if I showed it to you, probably the ones even in the first row couldn't even see it. So small. He said, I don't even know if you have that mustard seed in your hand. It's so small. It's almost, you almost can't see it with your eyes because that's how small it is. Very, very small. And yet, that seed, when it's planted in the ground, it has enormous, you know what, it's a very large tree. What's my point? My point is God knows what's going on, and God says, no. Understand, the problem, here's what he's saying to the apostles. You don't need more faith. You just need to plant your faith. Look, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea. Now, what does that sound like? Mountain in the sea, mulberry tree in the sea. You know what? Here's what he's saying. That the natural will have to obey your words. What is that? That's supernatural. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what Jesus said in response to them saying, God, we need more faith. He responds to them and says, no. Look, mustard seed. I don't know if he might have had a mustard seed. Said, no. Listen, you know how. And these people were, these guys were fishermen, but they were very familiar with a farming kind of, you know what? I mean, people, you know what, grew all kinds of stuff back then. So they understood this kind of talk. So he says, no, you don't need more faith. You know what? All you need to have a faith of mustard seed. Look how small this is. But what you need to do is say, everybody say, say. We'll talk about that in a minute because it's repetitive. All I'm pointing out, this is what Jesus said. Now, you can disagree with it. You can think that Jesus is, you know what, crazy and nuts and doesn't, and you, listen, you can think theologically that you know more than him. I listen to people sometimes on the radio. Actually, I don't spend a lot of time listening to them, but I hear people on the radio and they mock the power of the tongue. And they mock it, even, listen, religious circles mock it as being even false in doctrine. Well, I got a big problem with that. Here's why. Because I say Jesus is right, amen. I mean, no, you can't get smarter than Jesus. And I'll point out, this is throughout the Word. We're going to look at it in several places. Jesus says, the first thing he says is, first of all, I want you to understand, Peter, you can do this, and this is for anybody, but there's some requirements, and one of the requirements is you have to say. One of the requirements is you have to say. It just is. One of the requirements is you have to say. If you have faith in mustard, you can say to the mulberry tree, we'll pull it up. Okay, so that's you don't say, I have faith. Okay, and I don't need more faith. That's how he's responding to the apostles. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to exercise your faith, and I'll show you how to do that. So, number one, you know what? You have, everyone's been given the measure of faith. Number two, you don't need more faith. I said I'm going to talk about two things and then three things. We've already talked about two things. So let's talk about three things. Let's talk about three ingredients that will help you move your mountain. How many have something in front of you that is getting in the way of what God has called you to do? It's annoying. It's perturbing. That's perplexing and disturbing all in one. Amen. Somebody write these down, okay? I can't come up with these again. They're supernatural. No, they're not supernatural. They're super weirdial. But anyway, I can't come up with it again. It just happens. It is a sign of genius. Do you know that, right? That is, where'd you read that? I don't know. I just think that. But I'm saying it is perturbing. And it is disturbing. There's things that are in our way. And here's the thing. You know what? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. See, we think right away, it's my first point is, number one, you have to understand this is for anybody who'll do this. Look what it says. For assuredly, go back to Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, for assuredly, everybody say assuredly. For surely, he's talking to Peter. Peter, I'm saying this for sure. I'm talking to you, but it's not just you, Peter, I'm talking to. I'm talking to anyone else who'll do this. Anyone. Everybody say anyone. Anyone. For surely, I say to whoever says to the mountain, it's for anyone. Now, there are requirements, and I'll talk about the requirements in a minute, but it's for anybody who does it. You can go over to Superior and buy grapes. Who can buy grapes? Anyone can buy grapes, okay? Assuredly, I say to you, if they got grapes and you got money, you can buy their grapes. Yeah, but I'm this tall. Don't make any. Yeah, but I'm too short. Yeah, but I'm too chubby. No, don't make no difference. Yeah, but I have dark hair. I have blonde hair. I have brown hair. I don't have any hair. It don't make any difference. How many know everybody can buy grapes? Everyone can buy grapes. But how many know you need to do some, you have to have some money to buy grapes. Number one, anyone can do this deep. Anyone can do it if they'll do it. How do they walk in the supernatural? Number one, you have to understand this is for you. Somebody say, this is for me. This is for you. You can do this. It's not impossible. You can do this. But you have to understand whosoever means me. Whosoever is including you. Whosoever means you, if you'll do it. Okay. So understand your ability. You can do that. It's not just for a select few. That's what Jesus says. Number two, understand, or we'll talk about the two hinges. One One old prophet that's gone been to the is gone to be with the Lord. I like what he said. He said this. He said, the door into the supernatural is on two hinges. The door into the supernatural, or the door for you to walk in the supernatural, is on two hinges. Number one, you need to believe, and number two, you need to say. Number one, you need to believe. Number two, you need to say. It's on two hinges. Let me show it to you in the Word. Look what he says. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says to be done, he will have whatever he says. The door into the supernatural is on two hinges. Believe and say. Now, first of all, you have to understand that you have the ability to do it. Second of all, you have to exercise those two things, believe and say. Do you see it? For surely I say to you, whoever says the mountain be removed, cast in the sea, and does it down in his heart, but believes those things which he says. Okay, so let's talk about those two things. Let's talk about belief, and let's talk about saying. Number one, say, you have to believe. James says it like this. He says, he's talking about a unstable man who's tossed to and fro by these winds of doctrine. Okay. So the winds are knocking down the waves, and instead of having a good formed waves, those winds just knock it down. And it goes back and forth, and there's no clarity in what's happening. When I was a surf cat, I used to get up early in the morning, because in the morning, there was no wind. And so the waves would come in, and they would be perfectly formed. A lot of times in the afternoon, you know what? You couldn't surf at 4 o'clock. Why? Because the wind's coming. And you'd go out there. The waves were still coming in, but the wind made it all choppy, right. So what God is saying is, he's saying, here's what you need to understand. What James says is, you get tossed to and fro. You say, oh, I believe God. Oh, I don't believe. Oh, I believe God. Oh, I don't believe God. Oh, I believe. And here's what James says. Don't expect that you would receive anything. You know, it's so interesting to me, because in Jesus' day, when Jesus was alive, he dealt with unbelief a lot. And he just hit it straight on. He told the apostles many times. He asked them, where is your faith? Now, can I be honest with somebody? Here's the deal. When we don't believe God, it's a big deal to him. It's a big deal to him. Why? Because here's what the Bible says. It's an impossible for God to lie. Imagine this. It's an impossible for God to lie, but then he tells us something, and we're like, are you? See, God says this is a big deal. And listen, and let me tell you why you're not walking in the supernatural. Let me tell you why that mountain's not moving. It's not because you can't move it. It's because, you know what, you're doubting, you're going back and forth. You know what you're really doing? You really won't believe me. See, watch this. Obedience, trusting God is key. Somebody write this down. Trusting God is key to obeying God. Trusting God is a key to obeying God. Why did I move from the beach, which I loved, could walk to my job, could walk to the beach and go surfing, loved it there, you know what, paid $200 a month rent. Why would I move from there? Here's why. Because when God told me he had something better for me, In El Monte, in La Puente, I believed him. I couldn't find a transfer. The only store that I could find a transfer for was a store in Baldwin Park. How many know these aren't the most elite cities in California? And when people would talk to me in the line and they'd say, you know what, are you new? You know what? Did you just get hired for Lucky's? And I say, no, I worked for Lucky's for a long time. I got transferred from Newport Beach. And to a person, they look and go, oh. To a person. And then say, wow, what happened? And I say, well, you know what? Yeah, sometimes I wouldn't tell them all detail, but sometimes I'd just say, well, I wanted to get transferred here. And then they'd look at me like, oh, you're crazy. See, why would somebody do that? Here's why. Because I understood that God was smarter than me. See, trust is important to obedience. Watch this. And obedience is important, is critical for you to walk in the blessings. Listen, I like what the Bible says about Noah. Remember, God speaks to Noah and he says, you know what? But it's interesting because the verbiage is very interesting. You know what he says? He says, I want you to build an ark for you and your family. He doesn't say, build me an ark. He says, I want you to build an ark for you and your family. Can I tell you what? When God tells you something, he's not telling you something because he's trying to take something from you. He's always trying to get something to you. Always. And we look at it with the wrong perspective and we start thinking, no, well, you know what? No, listen, understand, stop not trusting God. It will always, somebody hear me, it will always not benefit you. Always. Always. And so this belief, listen, the door to the supernatural is on two hinges. Number one, you have to believe God. And I understand sometimes he tells us stuff that is difficult. It doesn't make any difference. Here, let me help you. The man with the withered arm. The man with the withered arm. You ever have something go wrong with your shoulder and it's like, man, it just troubles you all the time? Yeah. You ever have something go wrong with your foot? Right? Okay, this guy has a withered arm. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it's, to some extent, some kind of paralyzing that he can obviously, you know, has strength in this arm, but doesn't have strength in this arm. He meets Jesus, and Jesus says, stretch out your hand. What a... Is Jesus just, do you ever feel like Jesus is just messing with you? You know what I mean? Can I tell you what? Jesus ain't just messing with you. What does he want? He wants him to stretch out. How did he do it? I don't know. He was like. I don't know how he did it. Maybe he just took his other arm and went like this. Maybe he just tried to do the best he could. Maybe he just, that was the best he could do, but that was better than this. Maybe all he did was go like that. But how many know when this man got healed in correlation to when Jesus said, stretch out your hand? Everybody say after. See, what does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. Let those who are sick call upon the elders of the church. Why does it say that? Let those who are sick call upon the elders of the church. they will pray the prayer of faith over them. You know what? If they have sins, it'll be forgiven. And the prayer of faith will rise them up from their sick bed. How many know that's what the Bible says? But have you noticed what the Bible said? Who is supposed to initiate this prayer? Very interesting. Listen to me. Who's supposed to initiate the prayer? The sick. Somebody say the sick. Watch this. Watch this. What are we talking about? We're talking about believing God. You think it was easy for that guy with the withered arm to believe God? But see, you know what's harder than to stretch out your faith? You know what's harder than that? Than for you to have doubt and unbelief. I love one of my favorite sermons that my dad preached. He said, believe and receive, or doubt and go without. Can you hear R saying that? What a great sermon. You know what? And today, for some reason, in our too educated, we've got too skinny jeans for just the gospel. Can I tell you what? The gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. You know what? And the Bible says, you know what? It's a stumbling block. You know what? What does it say to the Greeks have a hard time accepting it because it's just too illogical. It's, you know what it is? God is asking you to do something that doesn't make sense to you. Stretch out your hand. Oh, here, I'll give you a whopper. How about this one? Wash your face, go down to the lake or the river, wash your face 7 times. Now, who does he say this to? You know who he says this to? He says this to a blind guy that before he's telling him to wash his face, he makes a mud pie and slaps it on his face. And this is a special mud pie. He doesn't go to the well and get some fresh water. He makes his own mud pie with his spit. Now you tell me how logical that is for this guy with mud dripping off his still blind eyes to go and wash. And I'm just saying, and after the third time, imagine, okay, I'm going to wash it off. I'm going to do it again. How many times? At 2, is he thinking he's crazy? At 3, he's thinking he's crazy? At 4, he's thinking he's crazy? At 5, at 6, but at 7, he saw. See, Jesus says this. He says, let me tell you, Peter, you can walk in the supernatural. This isn't just me. This is you, and let me say this is anybody. But let me tell you what. They have got to believe what I say. They have to believe what I say. Why? Because believing what I say will cause you to be obedient. You know what? The men who all got healed of leprosy. You know what the Bible says? Jesus tells them, go and profess your healing. Go to the priests and show them that you're healed. And the Bible says, as they walked, they became clean. Which gives me indication, watch this, that as they stood there, when Jesus told them that, they weren't clean. See, do you argue with Jesus about what he's asking you to do? Because let me tell you who argues with Jesus. The people who don't trust him. That's why faith is so important. Why did I move up from Newport Beach? Because I trusted God. I didn't see it. I knew the blessings that God will have for me where he's telling me to go are going to be. Who blessed me in Newport Beach anyway? Somebody say, God did. God blessed me in Newport Beach over and over and over again. Well, you know what? You think God just has some anointing in Newport Beach? No, the blessings of God. The Bible says goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The blessings of God are going to follow me right up to La Puente. Somebody say amen to this. Right? Right? Pastor George, I think I said La Puente like a white guy. That's okay. Tony says I have an Hispanic heart. All I'm saying is, guys, understand we I think way underestimate the times. And I'm not saying, I like what Tamara said in the first service, I'm not saying that we don't sometimes have an opportunity to be pulled back into unbelief. I'm just saying, guys, if you're going to walk in the supernatural, understand that the door to the supernatural has two hinges, one to believe and two to speak. You have to believe. Say, Pastor, it's hard. Can I tell you what? It's really not hard to believe if you will keep reading your Bible every day. Because you just start to be convinced. The Bible says, In the light, you see the light. That's what the Old Testament says. In the light, you see the light. So you're reading every day, and you just start to see stuff that normally you wouldn't see. Jesus, I'll give you another example. Jesus sits the people down. He's got 5,000 people or 4,000 people. He's got two loaves, five fishes, or five fishes, two loaves. What is it? No, five loaves and two fishes. He's got hardly enough to feed a young man, and he sits them down in groups of 50 and 100. Why? Because he knew that God was going to bless him. He says in his prayer, he says, I already know what's going to happen. I'll just say this for these people's sakes. But God, I already know you're going to bless this. Is that what he says? See, there's got to be an underlining truth that you will do whatever God says because you fundamentally believe. There's no doubt in your heart that God is. You know the Bible says of Abraham? Abraham believed even though beyond what was made any sense, even knowing that he was old. You think about it. Sarah couldn't have a baby when she was young. You know, who in the world is going, you know what, I mean, Sarah, you know, Abraham is taking Sarah to Babies R Us, you know what I mean? You know, it's like unbelievable, you know what I mean? Can you imagine being one of at Babies R Us, or what do they call, that Babies R Us? Okay, you know, can you imagine being a clerk, working at Babies R Us, you know, you got Sarah and Abraham walking in. Like, oh, how cute. You're buying this for your grandbaby? Abraham's, no, man. We're buying this for our baby. Like, oh, you know. Wacky online on aisle three. Wacky on aisle three. See, you know what? But let me tell you what. The day came when the rain came. The day came when the baby came. The day came when that guy with the withered arm could pick up his own bucket. The day came when the guy who couldn't see, you know what, could hold his wife's hand and he could look at her hand and hold it. Could look at his wife. The day came, you know what, when those men who had leprosy, who were told, get out, can't come in this city, you'll infect us. You know what? They could come, they could sit anywhere they wanted. See, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. See, a lot of times, to be honest with you, we are our own. The problem isn't that God doesn't want to bless. The problem is that he can't bless us beyond our ability to believe him. Are you catching this? See, how in the world could it, God, who understands who you are and is called to direct you, but won't force you to do anything, how can God bless? Let me talk about Pastor Bradford for a bit. If I would love if Pastor Bradford was still alive, because if Pastor Bradford was still alive, I would ask him to preach here every once in a while. And he would be a blessing to you, okay? But let me tell you what, if you came up with a car that was messy on the inside, he'd slap you around. Would he not, Tamara? I mean, almost literally slap you around. Pastor Bradford, you know what? One person said about Pastor Bradford, he was somewhere between a teddy bear, Winnie the Pooh, and Adolf Hitler. He was so adamant about what he believed. And sometimes, particularly to the staff, sometimes, I mean, you know what? You walked out of his office and you felt beat up. You know what? But let me tell you what, Pastor Bradford is the reason why hope looks like hope looks. I'm telling you what, I didn't have an eye like I have now. I look at things, I drive up, I just come in the van and I just drive around. Sometimes, you know what, you'll see me just drive around. What are you doing? I'm looking, man. I'm looking for stuff that's not right. Pastor Bradford was over many Foursquare churches, and he used to come back. He used to come back from those churches and just be disgusted. You know, I remember he came back one time. He said, guys, he was from North Carolina, so he had this accent. Guy, and he was tall, big guy. Guys, I tell you, guys, we're not going to put up with this. You know, there was chickens. They had a chicken hen house right in the parking lot of the church. He just was into excellent. You know what? Everything needed to be. I remember a time we had Pastor Jack Hayford was coming to our church and they were doing a leadership thing, and he was one of the guest speakers. And so we had arranged the chairs all in this certain way, and he comes in here, and everything was nice. It was all neat. And he came here, guys, we're not gonna have this. Why are these seats back to back? We ain't gonna have that back to back stuff. Like, how do you want it? One time we had bought some donuts, and somebody thought it's nicer to cut the donuts in half. He was a character, and he was like, well, who did this? Who did this? And from now on, here's all I want. I want glazed donuts and diet soda pop. Glazed donuts and diet soda pop. What was the sin? We cut the donuts in half. We ain't gonna have that. But can I tell you what? I'm telling you, 6 years, he just poured into me and poured into me and poured into me and poured into me and poured into us. See, you know what? I praise God for the wonderful little Foursquare church that I was part of. You know what, in Costa Mesa, that was a blessing. But I'm telling you what, I needed what Pastor Bradford had for me. These interns needed what Pastor Bradford poured into them through me. This city needs a church where you drive in. And you know what, here, you find a property in Pico Rivera, you'll be hard-pressed to find a property in Pico Rivera that looks as nice as this property. Amen. You'll be hard-pressed. Chase Bank? Mm-mm. Not even close. Mm-mm. Amen. Amen. What's my point? Here's my point. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. One night, Tamara and I just see, we don't understand the goodness of God. God won't ever tell you something to do. Trust in him. Your non-trust of God is gross to him. It's gross. Here's why. Because he can't lie. I have learned, I like what one person said. He had said, I learned to be uncomfortable with comfortable. See, sometimes we don't understand. God's positioning is to make us uncomfortable. Oh, I didn't get Pastor George, I didn't get a big amen. Did you notice that? Let me teach you. for you to get uncomfortable. Why? Because that's growth. Now you're doing something, and what's God looking to do? He's looking to increase you, to build your character. That's what he wants to do. Here's the beautiful thing. When he builds your character, you will always be in a better place. You'll look back at it and say, what was I thinking? How could I even think of not being obedient to God? Because you'll see, when years later, when Tamara and I were in some beautiful apartments that we managed, we paid no money rent, we got an income from just living somewhere. We were just so blessed on so many different levels. And I thought to myself, you know what? What a fool I would have been to stay in Newport Beach. Yeah. Wow. What a fool I would have been. Listen, you couldn't pay for a better education than I got in the 6 years that I was with Pastor Brad. You couldn't pay for a better education. See, here's why the Bible says, lean not into your own understanding. If God is speaking to you and saying, you know what? You need to give that up. You know what I mean? Then what do you need to do? You need to give it up. What is it? I don't know what it is. It doesn't make any difference. If it's a boyfriend, you know what? If it's a girlfriend, if it's an attitude, if it's smoking weed, if it's drinking on the weekends or drinking on the weekdays, it doesn't make any difference what it is. God always knows what's best for you. Amen. Amen. And so we have to understand, Jesus says, let me tell you what, you want to walk in the supernatural? You have to start believing me. And number two, and I'm only going to have time to talk about this just for a little bit, and I'm going to stop. Number two, the first thing he says, you've got to speak to the mountain. Now, there's a lot of intellectuals, listen to me, there's a lot of intellectuals in the body of Christ who have decided that they know more than Jesus Christ. Amen. And they mock pastors who believe that life and death's in the power of the tongue. Listen to me. Like those pastors got that from some psychology book. Let me tell you why I believe life and death's in the power of the tongue. Not because I got that from some psychology book, but because that's what God revealed in Proverbs. Amen. And then, watch this, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he keeps on saying the same thing. Notice, you already saw it. Jesus said, you don't need more faith. You just need to say to the what? Not the mountain. The mulberry tree. You need to say to the mulberry tree. What, you think God was confused? You think God didn't understand what words to use? You know, it's interesting. Look at it, Mark 11, 23, 24. Look at it. For surely I say, every time I say, you count. Everybody, real loud. Or surely I say to you, whosoever says to the bound, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he what? He will have whatever he what? He will have whatever he says. Listen, in that verse, four times, you know what? But the first, we'll take away the first because he's just saying, I'm just talking to Peter. So three other times he's saying, I want you to say something. I want you to say something. You want to walk in the supernatural? You want that mountain to be removed? You need to say something. Yeah. Now, three times in English, the word say, but three different Greek words. Want to teach you something? The first Greek word, it means just to proclaim. He's saying, hey, you got to speak to that mountain. You got to say it. It just means to speak. That's all it means. The second word, he says, for say, is a Greek word. And you know what it means? It means you're saying stuff, but you're saying it in a position of authority. Do you understand? See, there are a lot of people in the grocery store could say stuff. You know, oh, you put the chips over there, put the Coke over there, put the whatever, you know, making it. But, you know, I'm not even listening to any of them. Why? Because they have no authority. I'm listening to the manager. When the manager says, I want you to move that Coke display, you know, some 8-year-old comes in and says, hey, move that Coke display over there. How many know? I'm not doing it. Why? Because there's no authority. He's got no authority to say that. Jesus says, let me tell you what. I want you not to just speak to the mountain. I want you to understand the authority that you have to say to that mountain. You catch that? You're not just somebody. You're a child of the Most High God. Amen. Somebody say, I got a daddy. Why is that significant? Because I told you, I showed it to you in the Word. You know what? We've been given authority here. That's why the Bible says to Adam and Eve, take dominion on this earth. Amen. The third thing, the third word he uses for say, what are those building blocks that they make? What are those called? Legos. It's Legos. That's a Greek word. Legos are those things that if you step on at night, we see if you're sanctified or not. Right? Right? But how many don't? Legos are interesting because you get the box and you buy the box, and the box is this nice big battleship. You know what I mean? Right? Like, ooh, there's a battleship in that box. But how many know you open the box, you're like, where's the battleship? How many know the battleship is in there? You just got to put it together. You know what? You know what words are? Words, according to this, they're building blocks which enable you to move your mountain. Amen? So here's what we need to do. We need to start believing God and saying what he says about our lives. Yeah, but Pastor, you broke your foot. Amen. I'm not a perfect pastor. I don't have a perfect life. You know, I got challenges too. But guess what? My foot is being healed by the power of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. I mean, there's all kinds of challenges in my life. But you know what you're going to hear me say? You're going to hear me say what God says. You're going to hear me bless me and bless my kids and bless my church. Amen? Why? Because the Bible says, with your mouth, you shouldn't curse and bless. You shouldn't curse, you know, bless God and curse men. With our mouth, it shouldn't be that way. We should be blessers. We should bless people. Did you see me almost lose my balance right there? Amen. You didn't even see it, huh? You missed it. All I'm saying, guys, is this is what God has called you to do, to speak to your mountain, to trust him, to say what God, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God says that he, you know what God does? He calls things that are not as though they were. That's what he did over and over. He tells those people, oh, yeah, sit on down. Get ready to eat. See, how many of us, the only thing we say is what we see? The only thing we say is what we see. And there's chaos in the family. There's strife in the home. You know what? You can barely get to work in your junkety car. And all you do is just say the same thing. Bible says, God is saying today, no. See, I'm not saying that stuff you got going is not incredible. I'm saying you can get over it if you understand the hinge to the supernatural. There's two hinges. One, you know what? It's the power of your tongue. You've got to say to that mountain. Listen, you need to hear your pastor, but your mountain needs to hear you. You need to hear your pastor, but your mountain needs to hear you. I remember one time we were believing for these chairs, and we had been believing for carpet, and every place you walked in the church, there was beautiful new carpet. But we were believing for these chairs, the same chairs that you're sitting in, good quality chairs. Amen? How many know the church ought to have good quality stuff? Okay, good quality chairs. And how many know, I'm just teaching you, how many know you save money when you buy quality stuff? I'm just telling you, do. These chairs have lasted for a good long time. And they still look almost new. Amen. But that's a side note. I'm just saying, I remember when we were believing for these chairs, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and said to us, you know what? You're not speaking like you were speaking about that carpet. And told Tamara, every time you walk in the sanctuary, start thanking God for the chairs. Amen. 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 Calling the things that aren't, we didn't have no chairs, as though it were.
Amen.
Already, can you imagine thanking God for something that hasn't happened yet?
Yes.
Amen. Woo! Amen. I'm telling you what, your life will get better already because what you're doing. You know what? Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known. Why are you thankful? You're thankful because God goes before you and makes the crooked path straight. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, you can get happy before you have it.
Amen.
All right, I got to stop. Did you learn something today? What is that door of supernatural? What are the two hinges that they go on? Belief and saying. Amen. Amen.
I don't know. I wanna talk about Pastor Bradford for a second to just say that analogy came. It's weird because you knew him and love him, and I know him and love him, and these people never had the privilege of knowing him. And so when you say he's a cross between Adolf Hitler and Winnie the Pooh, people can kind of go, what? Why are you talking fondly about him? Fondly because that Adolf Hitler part was his, he was over the top, not going to settle for anything but excellence in the house of God and in every... You know why he was mad about the donuts being cut in half? Can we not offer someone a full donut? You know what I mean? No lack in God. Who cut these things in half? Like everyone only gets a half. Who did that? I kind of like my donuts cut in half. You know why? Because I can't make up my mind what I want. So then I can have a half of a jelly-filled and a half of a chocolate. I didn't cut them that day, but I would have. I'd have been the first one to cut them because I think that's awesome because then you can just get some of everything, and I like some of everything. But one of the reasons why he didn't like that is because what are we saying? People can't have a whole donut? So it just bothered him, and that I've never been around somebody who demanded excellence like that. In everything. And it was all about who our God is. That's why he was like that. It's like, don't misrepresent God. It made us, it put that in us. We took the good. Do you understand? And he was over the top sometimes. But you know what? We sure did... We sure did appreciate that we were able to sit under his leadership for the time that we did because he changed who we are in the way that we see God, and it was all good what he put in us. So I want to talk about the fact that we doubt that comes to us that works against us being people of faith, being people who trust God. Doubt comes to all of us. Do you know that? I'm going to mention a couple of people to you that you're familiar with probably already, but I just want to point it out. You know what? Eve, in the garden, she had God's words. But the enemy came and put doubt in her mind. She went with the doubt. She went with the words of the enemy instead of the words with God. And we have the same thing happen to us. We have God's word. So the enemy comes and he, through our thoughts, gives us doubt. But But what are we going to do? Are we going to stick with what God says? Or are we going to receive that doubt and start begin to question God in what he said? And we need to be sure that we're walking this out in our life. I want to talk to you about, and many times, and having a right attitude and gratitude is so important as we're walking out trying to trust God. That transfer that he took to Baldwin Park wasn't the only transfer. So he transferred to Baldwin Park, and he was working in Baldwin Park, and then he got transferred to Monrovia. Later on, we were married by then and had kids. And so he would drive all the way to Monrovia out on Huntington Drive there to the Albertsons. And we lived in San Gabriel, and he usually went in around 4 or 5 o'clock. So that was quite a trip, you know what, in traffic. And so it would take, he'd have to leave home earlier, and we were apartment managers. We had things to do. We had babies. And so there was an opportunity to get a transfer to San Gabriel. And right on Las Tunas Street, there was an Albertsons 5 minutes from our house. So you know what we want? We want the transfer to San Gabriel. And we put in the transfer for San Gabriel. And when we didn't get the transfer to San Gabriel, I was disappointed. It's like, God, how come? You ever been there? And it's like, man, God, you know what? We're serving you, and I was believing you for that, and probably some other things that probably weren't so good. It's like, man, you let me down, God. We do this. We act foolish sometimes. It was about a week later, once we had found out that we did not get the transfer to San Gabriel. And there was on the news a story that the Albertsons right there on Las Tunas had just got robbed. Then you know how they bring the Brinks truck and everything? So they robbed when the Brinks was coming in. And the clerk that was there got shot and killed. That clerk had only been there for a week. How many of you caught that? If my husband would have got the transfer that I was upset for God for not giving him, that would have been his shift. He would have been there that day. We need to watch it when we begin to question God. See, I have seen God do so, move mountains so many times that at this point, when it doesn't look like it's happening for me, I know better now. I just go, okay, God, what you doing? Right? It's a good thing. It's like, God, what you doing? What if I didn't get that, what is it that you have for me? See, because I trust him. And you don't just come out of the womb trusting him. Do you understand that? We all go through these doubt moments. Doubt is normal. What you do with doubt is up to you, though. Remember when John the Baptist, remember when Jesus came and he said, whoa, behold the one. It's behold and all of this. Remember all that when he announced Jesus and he's the Messiah and I'm not even worthy, you know what, to whatever, do something to his sandals or something like that. Do you remember that? He fully knew this is, whoa, it's you. He knew. But then later on in Luke, when John ends up in prison, he calls for some of the disciples and he says, you go to Jesus and you ask him, is he the Messiah? What? What the heck? What the heck? Word came back, you tell John everything that you've seen, and yes, I am he. What is that all about? When things don't, maybe he had some preconceived ideas of how it was going to go too, right? The disciples did. They had it all figured out. Okay, he's going to come. He's going to do a kingdom, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to sit at the right, and you can sit at the left. And they had a whole different picture of how it was going to go down. Remember I told you last week, I try not to figure God out anymore. I just know that I know that I know that he is good and that he has good plans for me and that I can trust him. And I stopped trying to see what he's going to do. Does that make sense? And we need to do that too. That we keep that through the process, remember the loan? See, I could have been bawling and squalling and going, oh, Lord, how come? But that whole thing, all of those things ended up saving me thousands of dollars on buying that house. God knows the beginning from the end. And I would much rather, now that I've lived all kinds of situations like this, and like the loan, and like I could just go on and on, I don't figure it out no more. I don't get upset if it don't happen. I just say, hey, how come, God? What's next? What are you doing? Now what? Right? We had another one where it doesn't seem like it's going as it should. So we wanted to we were working for one guy in San Gabriel managing apartments, and the Holy Spirit totally led me to go across the street, talk to this man. It was God all over it. And so we go over there, and next thing you know what, through that whole encounter, my mom and dad get hired, you know what, by these new people, and out from under the oppression, I don't even know what else to say, of the owner's son that had taken over from where we used to work. And so that was awesome. And then they said, oh, yes, and we're going to hire you and your husband. Right now, here's just a little unit here. We couldn't move into it, but it was just a 12 unit that we managed not living there. And the place that we were going to live was across the street. It was going to be a 3-bedroom, but we had to wait because they were going to just honor the managers that had been there for so long. They were sick. They really couldn't do the job anymore, but my owners were not about to kick them out. And they said, you know what, we're just gonna wait. But when that becomes available, that's gonna be yours. And that's where you and your husband will move. We said, okay. So we're waiting on that. And it's kind of not happening. It's like, okay, well, when's this gonna happen, Lord? Because, well, you know what's happening in the meantime? We got this oppression going on ourselves. You know what I mean? Where we were, it's like, okay, Lord, when's this gonna happen? It was in that time that it wasn't happening that we ended up coming here to the church, and the Lord said to me, you know, he brought to my remembrance a conversation when I met these men. He said, do you remember when they talked about having a property supervisor? I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, that's what you're to do. And I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to do that? And then he said, if you're the property supervisor, then you don't have, if you're a manager, you got units that you need to manage. I mean, it's work. They're not just handing out free rent. And so all the fix-its and everything, Drew would do all of that. And he said, if you get the supervisor and not the manager, that's all you and none of Drew. I said, oh, okay, Lord, now how do I do that? That's a whole nother testimony. But I became the supervisor. I did not become the manager. And I've been working for those men for 16 years as property supervisor. And can I just tell you, it's a way cooler job than if I would have taken the manager thing. Do you understand that? It really gave me all kinds of freedom in my time that I did not even understand that I needed. Why? But because we had just taken the church then, and I was down here 7 days a week. I had a ton of work to do. I wouldn't have been at the property like I belonged. I needed to be mobile. Here's how I work with my phone. And so I could be here tearing down a wall or painting a wall or doing whatever I was doing for the Lord, and I'm still working. Do you see that? Didn't God have a better plan? He always has a good plan. He always has a better plan. We just need to trust him. Amen? And keep a right attitude and be grateful people in that time. As I was waiting for that property supervisor job, I was cleaning apartments. I didn't like cleaning apartments. I was tiling laundry rooms, the floors, me and my friend. That's hard work, too. I didn't like that either. But I would get into those apartments. I'd gather all my cleaning supplies, and I'd haul over to that apartment, haul it all upstairs, and I'd set it all down. And the first thing I'd do is plug in my praise music, because I needed to stir myself up to have a good attitude, because I really didn't like doing it. So I'd put the praise music on, and then I'd begin to thank God. Father, thank you for the provision that you're providing for me right now. I'm so grateful for it. Thank you. And so I cleaned apartments. Say, Tamara, would you rather have cleaned apartments and tiled those laundry rooms for however long that was, 6 months, waiting for the property supervisor job? Or do you just wish that you would have got into that manager job right away? Well, I thought what I wanted at the time was to get into the manager job all the way, but I didn't know the whole plan. God did. I didn't know that God was going to say, hey, you two need to move into your home. It's like, what? You know what I mean? And it's like, how can we move in the home and do this thing? It was, God's got a plan. And here I am, 16, 17 years later, just a blessing what God has done for us. Boy, he set us up. He set you up. I work, but I work by my phone. So I've done all kinds of things here at the church. I'm available. Does that make sense? God has set us up as a congregation. But I needed to trust him. And I needed to be thankful and grateful in that time. Just like, God, I don't know what you're doing here. But thank you for these apartments. I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but thank you that you're providing this. See, we had to make our house payment. And so he took care of us all along, waiting for what I had no idea was going to be so cool, but he did. Amen. I apologize for the temperature in here. I don't know what's up with the AC. It's kind of broken, so we're going to figure it out. We're going to take care of it. But thank you for your patience. I want to just ask you to just respond. You know what? Because God right now, and it's not, it's happening here in our church, but I hear it happening nationwide. God is calling the body of Christ to a place of greater faith. He is just calling us, you know what, to become people of faith in a greater way than we ever have. How many of you feel that yourself, just personally? It's like, I'm hearing God. You know what? He's pulling on me. Me too. And so let's just come in agreement together. Let's receive what God is doing and let him just continue to have his work in us. Amen. Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Lord. You saw everyone who responded. They're hearing your voice, Lord. I thank you that you are taking us back to the basics. Faith is a foundational teaching in our Christianity. It is not something that we can pick and choose. And so I thank you, Father, that you're stirring each one of us to hear your voice and to begin to walk out areas of our life by faith that we can grow and be greater in the kingdom of God for you, and that we would be able to walk into the blessings that you have for us. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We hear your voice. I thank you for all the seed that has been sown in this message. I cover it with the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that it will take root and it'll grow up in people's lives. I thank you for the many testimonies that'll come from it as we begin to just let you teach us and grow us in faith. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.